So we have a bit more information on this story of the 38 people from Barbados who have been left stranded at Pearson International Airport in Canada. They have been there with a BNOC cricket tour group. The information I have here is that they're still at the airport. Contact was made with the Consul General, or the office of the Consul General there, and something is being worked out, they say, but there's been no update on the flight. And the person who has communicated this to me says that they do not think any information on the flight will be forthcoming because the Grantley Adams International Airport is closed. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well. Morning.
Yes, I'm good to myself. No, Mr. Ellis, you know that what people have a saying that you don't like a noise, but you just adorn a riot. Now, on Friday, I was out and about, and as I pull in by the gas station with the pump, you sound an alarm that there's some people that is calling there on a Friday. But you know that they ain't getting called there because they was busy with them annual conference and such like. So I guess it was just provoking.
Provoking? Was I not true?
Well, yes, it was true that we was busy with our annual conference, but the fact that
so you were complaining about then?
You were trying to call out somebody.
How? Well, I just recognized that was the truth.
Yeah, it was the gospel truth. Lo and behold, Mr. Watts did come on, but I guess he was on before that, so I figured that that ain't what you wanted. Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, we can do a report on that later, right?
You mean the annual conference?
Yeah, we do that, because you know today...
No, I'm curious to hear... No, well, I don't think that we should lock ourselves down just to today's approach of the tropical storm. Because you know what has happened. If you're not careful in terms of the flow of information, the tropical storm would effectively drown the annual conference of the Democratic Labour Party because of the greater concern, national concern about the approach of the storm. So that's not good PR for any political party that has had its annual conference. It prefers that when it has had the conference the next day, that takes the headlines. Yeah. But instead, what you have today is that nature has worked against the Democratic Labour Party in that regard.
No, they got some good write-up in today's paper. If you ain't read The Nation yet, you can read it. But before we go there, Mr. Ellis,
mm-hmm.
We got an outstanding matter. A matter that got you at the back of the class.
Mm-hmm.
You ready to come forward yet?
Not really. I'm comfortable where I am.
You're comfortable where you are. Well, I got some numbers. You know, you see, you don't want the numbers from me. But I got some numbers here that didn't look so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See? You know, you was able to tell me clearly that they did not buy all the coverly. You know what they bought?
I told you, I gave you figures of about 33 acres of coverly.
Yeah, I understand it. It's 35 acres.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got a figure that to convert the acres to square footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I divide the 13.5 million by that, right?
So where are you at? $9 a square foot?
I got a figure here looking like 8 point something.
$9 a square foot.
I mean, and that's what you were trying to hide, Mr. Ellis?
Me? Was there to hide about it?
Oh, well, I was asking you to...
So, but let me ask you something. And once you arrive at that, then what?
Mr. Ellis...
Because, as I told you, you still have to deal with the valuation. At the end of the day, my information is that that was more than what the valuation would have delivered to the party who was selling. So
that should never be true, Mr. Ellis.
Well, you got to prove otherwise.
That would be true.
You have to be able to prove otherwise.
Well, you know that ain't true, Mr.
No, 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 I can't say that. I want you to tell me why it is not true. And where is your evidence that is not true?
Mr. Ellis, land in Black Rock can't sell at that forest lawn.
Well, but I would think that you would have to deal with the people who do the valuation.
But I don't know who do.
And you have to go back to the terms, and of course, in that... Let me make the point. You would have to look at whatever were the terms under which the land, the transaction took place, the first transaction took place to create Coverley. Everything has to be put in context.
Mr. Ellis, don't pull shark me, Mr. Ellis.
No.
Right now, you can pull any spot in Barbados and know what the value of the land is in that area. There's no way that the land on Coverley right next to the Hyatt Airport could be selling at less than $10 a square foot. Because I can't get none in Black Rock for that. And you know that. You know that. So don't ever come to Pulshark me. I am dealing with it in comparison to a piece of rock down behind God back at the corner of Orange Hill there that was between $35 and $60 a square foot, Mr. Ellis. I left behind God back, could sell for that, right in front of face in Christchurch, can't sell for the 8.9, Mr. Ellis. This is wicked and unjust.
Look, you know, the truth of that is that when you are going to make comparisons, I think you have to go a little further than that and look specifically at the land at Coverley. If you are able to say to me that other land in Coverley has been selling for more than that, then I think you will have a much stronger point than the one that you're seeking to make right now, because you are effectively saying, I don't have all the details on Coverley, but what I can tell you is that when I look elsewhere, I cannot believe that this land is selling at $9 a square foot.
Mr. Ellis,
that is what you are saying. So I think you basically would have to look at the Coverley situation, because remember Coverley was also
a Coverley situation.
Pardon?
I live in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I know land prices in Barbados.
All right. What you know, my friend, but do you remember that? Do you
$9 a square foot?
Do you remember that when the Coverley transaction took place, there was a lot of criticism of the price at which the developers were able to access that particular land from the National Housing Corporation?
Mr. Ellis,
can you answer my question? Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Do you remember the price?
They also said it was too much.
Do you remember? No. Do you remember what the price?
Don't tell me no.
Do you remember?
I remember.
Listen. Do you remember the price? You are good at the figures, and you have all the figures. What was the figure back then?
The land was leased, and it was there for anybody to come and get.
No, that is not the question.
That is
not the question I asked you. I asked you what was the price per square foot at the time?
Mr. Ellis, I don't know what was the price per square
you
foot.
You don't know?
It was leased.
You don't know?
So square foot
was at what? Foot. It was leased at what price per square foot?
It wasn't leased by the square foot, Mr. Ellis.
All right.
It was leased by you.
You remember what? I do remember the discussion that took place. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the criticism was that it was, according to the critics, it was a steal of a deal. Okay?
There you go.
And therefore, and that was at $2. My recollection is that it was at the argument. I mean, you could tell me if you heard otherwise. We're basically saying, you know, it was said that it was $2 a square foot. No,
is it? Was $2 a square foot?
That land up at Coverley. That was my recollection of the criticism.
Mr. I never hear that yet.
Jeez, oh, Brett. If you never hear that yet, you must have been abroad.
No, if that was $2 a square foot, I would have gone and got
some. Oh, my God. You can get any.
I didn't know this quarter.
You can get any because you know it. But that was my recollection. But I will. So if that was the criticism.
If that was $2 a square foot, no one.
What was it? You are the person who claimed that you did the research and you had the figures. You know full well that if you are arguing that this particular price is too expensive, you would then have to go back to the original transaction and see what the land was selling at per square foot. You cannot seriously tell me that you did not do that and that you don't know. $2 a square foot for 99 years.
True, Mr. Ellis. That is not true. The land was leased.
What was the price? If you're telling me.
Years, but not by the square foot.
Hold on a minute. What was the price then? You got so much knowledge. Tell me what the price was.
What was the price of what? I can tell you how much acres.
You are trying to create mischief. Because
no,
if
Ellis,
you are trying to create mischief, because the only way you can be.
I'm trying to get the mystery clear up.
No, you ain't trying to get no mystery cleared up, because if you were serious about clearing up the mystery rather than creating mischief, you would come with all the facts. You won't come with a piece and leave out the rest.
Mr. Ellis, where's the piece that I come in?
But I just tell you already.
You're telling me that you think it is 33 or something. I like
anyhow.
It. I figure that it's 35.
Well, but you know, last time we spoke on this, I gave you the specific figure.
I was asking you to work.
And it certainly isn't far off. You are coming with only piece of the story because.
No.
And that's why I tell you, you run the risk of appearing to people as though you're just trying to create political mischief.
No, Mr. Ellis. The law prices in an area don't be one for one and one.
All right,
there.
Okay.
Something you find in a gap. The gap might sell at $15.
No,
per square
I don't.
Foot, and the one on the front road might sell at $20.
Strikers, 10 and 3, I think that you have to make contact with both of those prices. Where was it in the beginning, at the start of the lease, and what the government got? If eventually for the 33 to 35 acres of land. And then you also have to look at what the valuation was. Okay? You reject the valuation.
Mr.
I gave you the figures.
Hold a minute, Mr. Ellis. There's
hold
land
for what?
On the other side of the highway.
Hold for what?
Which that houses was building in the previous BLT administration.
Mm-mm. Right. You got it. You must stay cognizant of those facts.
Those lands was not no less than $10 a square foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir.
No less than 10. If land was selling at less than $10 a square foot, it would be gobbled up.
All right. All right. All right. All right, Strikers. Let's move on. Down to brass tacks. The weather situation outside hasn't really deteriorated. It's still a bit sunny and still some movement out there on the streets. As you know, we monitor what's coming from the local Met office, and we also go online to look at what's coming from the National Hurricane Center. They had an 11 o'clock advisory on Tropical Storm Dorian. This was their advisory number 9, and it said basically that at 11 o'clock, the storm was 12.3 degrees north, 57.7 west, or about 135 miles east, southeast of Barbados, or 245 miles east, southeast of St. Lucia, with maximum sustained winds of 60 miles per hour. And the present movement was west-northwest, or 285 degrees at 14 miles per hour. The minimum central pressure was 1002 millibars, or 29.59 inches. And what were the changes that they highlighted with this particular advisory? A hurricane watch had been issued by the government of St. Lucia for that country. And the government of France upgraded the tropical storm watch to a tropical storm warning for Martinique. So that's the latest information that we have here from the National Hurricane Center as we stand by to hear the latest advisory from the Met Office in Barbados. This is down to brass tacks. Tell me, traffic is terrible on the ABC Highway and Highway 2A as well. And that also tells you a lot about where Barbados is when it comes to emergency situations and our major highways. Huh? Imagine if we had a tsunami warning or something like that, you know, an earthquake, and you need to get out of town. It is not going to be easy. And this is just a fine example of the kind of challenges that we face when we deal with certain emergencies in the country. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Let me wish Barbados and all Barbadians a safe period, prayer, during and after the impending storm. I had no intentions really truly to call brass tacks today. But the last caller actually drew me out. He came last week when he dealt with the said area thing. You was correct in what you said. Again today, I always say about these guys, either I have misinformation or no information. You're correct. The issue at Coverley was, now, when the divulge at Coverley, where the developer was leased 22,000 acres of ground lands for 99 years, right?
Yes.
And he also bought some as well at $3 per square foot. At $3 per square foot. That's even less than the $5 that was used that the lower salary income people would receive. So yes, you're correct in that as well. That was the big issue there. He bought the lands at $3 per square foot. So you're correct. Right? So when the Prime Minister, she got more than what was value.
But the valuation was not at $3. The valuation took it to $5 and $7, I believe. Then the government got more than that for it.
That's what I'm saying. Mm. That's what I'm saying. They made a profit on it. They made a greater impact. So I don't know. These guys just come to the program and shoot on the lip before they need to sort of thing. I don't know if I should really even go on to make a further contribution. I barely wanted to, you know, to list it out and listen to what's going on in the country. Or you want me to make another input?
Well, I thought that both of you might have commented on the outcome of the elections for the Democratic Labour Party. I mean, we have Verla de Pisa being returned unopposed as president of the party. Yeah.
I recall I reselected. But I really don't want to deal much about
Well, I'm curious about the dynamics of that within the Democratic Labour Party, that she can be, as you say, reselected. I go with reelected. I mean, what are the implications of that?
No, I don't think, no. And I think, actually, Mr. Wickham has given them some good free advice. I think they missed the boat, really. Because if you listen to what a lot of them are saying, even the president, all of them, are saying they're ready for this. They're ready. And they're accusing the government of, you know, doing foolish stuff. I don't believe people in Barbados would take this seriously until they come and acknowledge what went wrong. And another major issue I told someone up this morning, the former prime minister, by her side and in his presence, that got a negative impact. That will have a negative impact on the party. I'm sure of that. That will have a negative. If they want to break clear, and I don't see they're basically focusing on the next election and even so to win it. To win what? They have to come and apologize to Barbadians what they have done with the country. You know? That's my honest belief.
The party, the DLP,
the leader, or whoever the leader, this Maxine McLean and all of them, or the Santa Fe Garner.
So you want all of these people to come and apologize?
I mean, leadership position, not necessarily all of them. Those that are leadership positions, Mr. Gaitan.
So if you get that from one of them, that's enough for you?
Yes, someone of them. Well, and particularly, either the president or the chairman. More specifically, the president. But they're coming out lashing. But they, you know, come out lashing. Well, after a year, they take 10 years and took Barbados to the cleaners. They have to be better. Mr. Ellis, can I cut something quickly?
Sure.
Now, on the 15th of January this year, right? Colin Jordan spoke in the Parliament in Climate Rights Amendment Bill 2019. He said a company in Barbados negotiated a collective agreement with a trade union, right, in the past, and now they refuse to do so. They sort of put down the back burner. So he's saying that the trade union bring all legislation from all around the globe and things like that. But Mr. Jordan said that he would like to tell this company, Barbados lawyers are made in Barbados, in this honorable chamber and in the Senate, right? That's what he said in January. During on the 26th of July, 2019, the day of significance, Ms. Motley spoke about there has to be a paradigm shift regarding the what's happening in Barbados. No old British educational reform law in the 40s can define what best way for Barbados. So I'm surprised when I hear Mr. Steg, Colin Jordan, and Mr. Strachan now saying that you have to go back to gain people to pensions. Because actually, when that pension was abolished in the 1975, that was one of the old British laws, right? That was abolished. So I agree, Ms. Motley, when she said that. So I'd be surprised if they go back to that. Because you have several laws in Barbados that was overturned that had to be abolished. Now, you had one where the public sector in Barbados don't contribute to their service pension. But the pension is getting more and more costly every year, right? In 2016, it cost the government $26 million. 2017, $278 million. In 2018, $297 million. You understand?
Yes.
They had a next one that was abolished in 1979 as well. You call that patches, where once you were employed before 1979, senior people that reach a certain height in the establishment, they could get two Caribbean passes, right? The fellas even higher could get two Caribbean passes and one outside the Caribbean passes. Then I hear a gentleman call you and ask you the other day about when he has grown up children and things. That was the old law again. That was abolished after the males going in the public sector after the 1st of April, 1978. They don't have to now contribute to that old, you call it the widows and children law. So I'm saying that this pension law that what everybody keeps creating confusion about, that is the old colonial law. It will not come back. So these people better take the money off it, because it was a mistake that they received two pensions instead of one. So they better take the money off it, and let's go forward.
All right, sir.
Okay, good.
Thank you. We're coming right back. This person left a message for Stats Man, who was the last caller, and he wanted to know whether you've ever heard an apology from any political party for political or for economic mistakes, rather. And he said that we often take economics as an exact science when it is subject to the vagaries of human behavior. And Stats Man, he says that you must ask yourself if persons were significantly disadvantaged due to the change, leaving some pensioners in an unsustainable situation. The other point of note is that people are saying that traffic is heavy, not just on the highway that we mentioned earlier. Those on the road are saying it is heavy on all the highways and byways, it appears. All roads are slow, says this person. And another, it says that they move five car lengths in 26 minutes on Station Hill, heading to Waterford. There were four transport board buses behind them and one in front. So it really is very bad on the roads at the moment. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good. Good morning. Still morning, right?
Yes, it is. It is 11:34.
Yes, wonderful. All right, interesting you should talk about traffic, because that is the exact thing I am calling about. In my observations, right, I noticed that when I was on the highway earlier, that there have been police stationed at each of, the two roundabouts that I traversed. And I would note that there have been I spent significantly longer time at these roundabouts than I usually do on a normal day. And it really bothers me because I feel like it's doing a disservice, because it's not creating any value with them being there at these roundabouts. And I just wonder where, if I'm missing something that that they might think that that's being a good thing. I don't know if you have any.
You believe that if they took the policeman away, or the police officers, because they're not all men.
Police officers, sorry.
Then there is a possibility that the traffic will move far more smoothly.
Yes, I am of that. I'm of that opinion.
Sometimes I feel that when they turn off the traffic lights, that the traffic tends to move more slowly, more quickly too.
I agree with you also there on that note, because it's not just today that I noticed this. I noticed this on many occasions whenever I see anybody that any kind of human intervention, or I guess any traffic light intervention, I don't understand it. Don't these same persons who make these decisions not experience the same things that I experience?
I think we all see it, and we all go through the same exercise of saying, well, it seems to work better when the policeman isn't there, or when the traffic lights are not functioning as they normally do, you know?
Yeah. So I would like to implore on the powers that be that I'm sure some of them are listening to this program, I would think or hope, that they really seriously reconsider this part of the plan in which we are managing emergencies, or I guess inclement weather. Because although I really do appreciate how much effort is being made and communicated when we have such storms and so on coming in, but I think this is one that we seriously need to reconsider and get rid of.
Need the traffic flow.
Yes, that the traffic flow, because we definitely need this. This is the exact time we need the traffic to flow, and we are causing traffic to back up.
Well, you know, some years ago, when there were some older policemen, now retired in the force, they put an emphasis on going through exercises which were aimed at trying to assess how we should deal with traffic flow, especially out of Bridgetown in emergency situations. I am unaware that anything of that type has been tried in recent times, and this is against the backdrop of an increase in the amount of traffic that we have. Indeed, there are people who are telling me that because of the increase in bus fares, there are people who are prepared to chance their hands with a second-hand vehicle, because when they look at the amount of money they put into bus fare, they could as well put that money into gas.
Yes, that's a serious consideration, because one has to think about how much time it takes to wait on transportation. One mentioned sit moving 5-car spaces and there are buses behind. So imagine someone waiting at a bus stop. I have to wait for this bus. So I could understand that that view.
Somebody says, David, this in traffic. This is total gridlock. Cars are backed up all the way from Charles Road Bridge to Haggard Hall Junction. Never seen anything like it. You can imagine in all of the planning that has gone down, this one, we've missed this one. But it's important for us to look at it for the next time we have an emergency, because it is telling us that more attention needs to be paid to how you're going to deal with the traffic flow out of Bridgetown. And of course, it also has implications for the decision to have work on a given day. Because if you need to deal with emergency situations and to plan for a possible emergency, you then have to look at the impact of all of this when people need to get out of Bridgetown in particular. All right. Somebody says the police got the whole place jammed up. I don't want to knock the police like that, but we got to. I hope the police themselves will call and tell us what's going on. Yes. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Who's speaking?
My name is Siebert Johnson.
Okay. Sergeant Siebert Johnson. Just the man we needed to hear. What's going on with this traffic situation?
As you're aware, earlier it was given that the shutdown would have been midday. Then it was, you know, revised to 10 o'clock. All officers at the scene at various major intersections and were on a boat to assist the flow of traffic. That lady, from her point of view, I'm sure that's only her opinion, but others are still getting around. We were there, we had our plans in place, and they were working right. Everybody can't move the same time. As you know, the volume of traffic coming out of town isn't easy. And I've been working at junctions all morning, and traffic is flowing. I don't know why she was thinking.
But she's not. But in all fairness, not only one. It isn't only one person who's saying that. You know, I'm getting messages here from different people and sending me pictures as well.
But David, we have no country. We're doing our utmost to make sure.
Understood.
That
I don't look.
But everybody is trying to get out of
Fair enough. Look,
still trying to
fair enough. Don't you got to be careful not to take this criticism of the police by some too seriously. Her point was that it appears as though in instances the traffic flows better when you have no police. Now let me say this. I can tell you, for instance, that at that junction there with John Beckles Drive, if you're going from, let's say you're coming from behind the hospital and you're going on to that road, there's Crumpton Street?
Constitution Road.
If you don't have a policeman there, you don't get out easily, you know.
Well, there you go.
So there are places where it is necessary to have a policeman. If you don't have a policeman there by the gate, by the park, Queen's Park, trouble again. But you can find other places where it may appear to people that way. This is much deeper than the presence of a policeman and stuff like that. It has to do with the whole planning structure and anticipating what could possibly happen when you have too many people in Bridgetown who have to get out of town after you have said that this is the shutdown period. And that is something that the planners will have to think about as we, you know, look at how we plan these things in the future.
Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, no traffic is much easier. Most persons are off the street. And I'm hoping that most persons keep off the street now, taking into consideration that this shutdown. Huh?
But you are still in your office, or you have left the office
and gone on the road.
So are you in a position, therefore, you're not in a position where you're at Central and all the information is coming through to you?
No, not as yet. I'll be there probably in a few minutes.
Right. So you could find yourself in a completely different position once you get into Central, because you are now basing this on your your own observation on the street that you are traveling on?
No, we have a communication system.
Okay.
So those persons who are on duty will communicate.
Okay.
And we'll hear the communication from every individual policeman on duty.
Okay. So, I take the point that you can't just go and attack the police for this and that. But it is all part and parcel of the planning process. And by revising the shutdown time from midday to 10 o'clock, when so many people would already have been in Bridgetown, then it is quite possible. Pardon?
And they have to get out of town.
Yeah, it is quite possible that you need to take that into consideration as helping to create the problem. All right?
Okay, but all the best.
Thank you very much. So I'm getting a lot of feedback about this issue of the traffic, but there are indications that wherever you're seeing this backup, you need to look for a gas station, because a lot of people have rushed to the gas stations and they are creating a lot of challenges on the highway as a result. It is not just about policemen directing traffic. So sometimes when you get one observation, you got to be very cautious coming to the conclusion that that is it. You look at the totality of the problem, you will see other factors inside there that are influencing it. There's a lady here, it looks like a lady, but somebody said that they wanted to compliment some ladies in the Ministry of Finance, because they went to the revenue section this morning to get some assistance, to get some important information. And they say that they want to thank the lady who answered the phone and the person who assisted them. Well, she said the person who answered. So she didn't specifically say it was answering the phone. And why I'm highlighting this is that these two ladies were in office to help me, even though they should have been at home with their loved ones. And the person concludes by saying, thanks, ladies. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
First of all, I would like to thank VOB for broadcasting in the 12:30 news yesterday something from George Street. They give us an idea how the votes went and et cetera, et cetera. And you must give them a pass for that. It was good to hear that y'all ain't copying CBC, because CBC is a station owned by the people of Barbados. And I find Mr. Franklin was on TV last night. But what I'm saying is, for some reason, CBC believe that they ain't to broadcast things that is happening in the country, and I don't know why. Because it's almost impossible for a party to have 4 days celebration and at no time in none of the news, where regardless of everyone and CBC, they can say anything, even to let you know it's going on. Let me move on to my reasons for calling. I have one that I know you might get best with. I'm leaving it to last in case you got caught me. Miss Ellis, you have a gentleman's call this radio station for a long time now. And I would like you to do something for me after the program. Not that I bully you to do it. You could do it or you don't have to. Listen to the conversation between you and Straker Stenetry, and listen to the conversation between you and the stats man, dealing with the same issue. Because I was calling even before Straker Stenetry, but he helped and you helped push it with what a square foot the land at Coverley was sold for. I also asked Ms. Gale and I asked you, the two of you all, how come that amount of land could move from lease, Mrs. Semi Wing, to sale before going to Parliament? Never happened in the history of Barbados yet. And I went on to explain to you, Miss Ellis, that the land at Bay Street that Mr. Cameron had to, I think the land where the market was years ago, to hand it over to the tourist board, he has to go to Parliament. A small piece of land that a bath was on in St. John, that the gentleman next door wanted to take it in because the bath was no longer used. Mr. Kemmer had to go to Parliament to get that piece of land. And we could go on and go on down Lancaster. We could go on where every time Crown land is Hanover, you usually go to Parliament and discuss it with the people at the peer about this, know what's going on. This government can't lose in Parliament because they have all the seats.
But I'm going to have to ask you to wait until after the news to continue on this because we don't have enough time to explore it. So kindly wait and come back to us, all right? This is Down to Brass Tacks.